Good morning and welcome to the 10th 3SER KC Radio Win-Win Business Show with me, Paul Terro of Delium Advisory. It's going to be a varied show for you this morning. We have Barb Scott, Kath Ferry and Simon Mossman. Barb is from Admin Angels and she is here to talk about Girls Night In, which is coming up tonight. Kath is from Statewide Autistic Services. Kath and her team do a power of good for over 220 people in Seaford, Croydon and Gippsland, and Simon Mossman. Our last guest is Simon Mossman, and he is the passion behind New Media Evangelist. Simon has expertise in business communication, media and public relations. He has helped many to increase the influence across traditional digital and social media. So it should be a good show, full of value for you, the listener. And so to the first segment, some business news from across our region. From Cadinia, regarding the Southeast Business Park in Pakenham, the council are proceeding apace with its development. And from the reports I've read, they are pleased with the progress of the precinct so far. And further, from what I know and hear, they have been quite active regarding their involvement with and support of the local business community. From Casey, more than 1,000 residents have signed a petition asking for better infrastructure from whoever is in power from November's state election. The petition was delivered to both the government and the opposition. An infrastructure petition for included improvements to bus services, duplication for Thompson's Road, job creation and investment attraction, as well as youth mental health services. From Dandenong, this council is another advocating on behalf of its community to improve infrastructure, apart from requesting it more broadly for support in areas such as employment, business, transport and education. The specific requests made include issues to do with the Lyndhurst landfill, the Abbots Road level crossing, as well as public transport integration. And Frankston, firstly, redevelopment is about to start on the Frankston Yacht Club, so please be aware of impediments to the normal routines of life. And secondly, Frankston Council's annual report has just been released, and they are quite proud of their achievements and the reputation that is being built. For example, over the last 12 months, they have received many awards, including high-profile communication and tourism gongs. And also from Frankston, last Tuesday night was the Excellence in Business Awards. There were awards made in 11 business categories, including commercial services, home-based businesses and manufacturing. The two top awards, the Frankston City Merrill Award and the Mornington Peninsula Shire Merrill Award, went to Marine Graphics Inc. and the Gallery Accommodation McRae, respectively. And from Kingston, McKay Consolidated Industries recently received funding through the Smarter Resources, Smarter Business program to conduct a two-part assessment. The first is a materials assessment of its processes to determine materials inputs and points where waste is occurring. The second assessment was to identify material efficiency opportunities. This process was quite valuable. They achieved significant operational savings from the outcomes of the Sustainability Victoria program. So let's back up a bit and tell you what this business program is about. The 3SER KC Radio Win-Win Business Show has been established to create a business-centric platform, a platform for the promotion of business, for information sharing, and for finding areas of collaboration. Thus, this show will be a place where businesses and their key stakeholders can promote their expertise, government bodies can raise topics of interest, groups such as sporting clubs and community groups can highlight areas of need, and business-related matters and information can be presented. Now, 3SER Community Radio has a coverage area of Cardinia, Casey, Dandenong, Frankston and Kingston. Now, that's about 800,000 people and 60,000 businesses that can listen live on 97.7 FM. However, when you consider this show's recordings and the notes that are available on this show's program page, the coverage that you can gain can indeed be seen as global. Now, before we get to the interviews and other information, the next few minutes I'll be dedicating to a useful business principle. In fact, according to one Australian government website, if you ignore this principle, you will imperil the future of your business. You will be unlikely to prosper and unable to compete. Now, as someone who has kept up the learning over the years, particularly in the areas of information technology, of business and commerce, and more recently regarding strategic foresight, I have come across a few models, frameworks, concepts and theories that actually do make sense, and the one I want to cover off this morning is the innovation funnel. Innovation is important in today's economy. It's critical to maintaining success in an ever-changing marketplace. It's fundamental to survival in a business environment where not only change is happening, but where the rate of change is increasing. So, at a fundamental level, what is the process of innovation? How do you approach looking for and doing new? The four letters are SSIC. S for search, S for select, I for implement, and C for capture. S for search. Search is about finding opportunities for innovation. S is also for selecting. It's about selecting what you were going to do and why you were going to do it. I is for implementing. It's about how you are going to make it happen. And C is for capture. It's about ensuring that you secure the benefits from your innovation. So yes, you can see innovation is a process. And if it's a process, you can see innovation as a process rather. And if it's a process, that means it can become a habit. And the implication of it being a habit is that you can inculcate your business to be always innovating, always looking for process or product improvements. If innovation is a key aspect of your organizational culture, then response to an ever-changing environment will not be hard work. Now, innovation doesn't always have to be some new product. You can be innovative with respect to the processes that you use in your business, the positioning of your products and services, and the paradigm or mental model that you use to frame what you do. Innovation. The wide part of the funnel is the search for innovation opportunities. Then you move to selecting the opportunity. The third stage is implementing that opportunity, and followed by the final stage of capturing the benefits of that very innovation. So there we have today's business principle. Innovation. Next up, our first guest is Barb Scott of Admin Angels and that all-important night tonight, the Girls' Night In Business Class.
Are you a lover of soul music? Then why not tune in to 97.7 FM 3SER every Tuesday morning from 10 and find out what's happening on the soul scene with me, Brian Hart, playing 2 hours of the best mix of soul music in Melbourne with lots of Motown, Northern Soul, Southern Soul, and even a couple of soul disco tracks thrown in for good measure. Plus, we invite you to put the kettle on around 11 and put your feet up for a well-earned break when we change the mood and play two or three easy-listening soul tunes. So come on, tune into the soul scene every Tuesday with me, Brian Hart, right here on 97.7 FM 3SER, your sound of the southeast.
The KC Radio Equine Show, proudly brought to you by our sponsors, Watson's Proprietary Limited. Supporting the local community and development of the City of Casey through provision of planning, surveying and engineering services. Creating innovative solutions in design and development. Watson's. Excellence through a point of difference. Phone 5975 4644 or visit the website at www.watsons.net.au.
Okay, thanks for coming in, Barb.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Barb Scott is the director of Admin Angels and the key to the Girls' Night In business class. Admin Angels is a virtual business assistant, and it's taking care of the daily, taking care of the daily and weekly administration tasks. And Girls' Night In is an event on tonight, featuring Tammy Van Wisser. I believe that's the right way to say it. So, firstly, we'll just talk a little bit about Admin Angels and then we'll get into the Girls' Night In. So, what's Admin Angels?
So, Admin Angels is a virtual assistant business and we are basically the administration marketing arm for small businesses. So, solo businesses, home-based businesses, small businesses that can't manage everything in-house. We take care of their newsletters, their diary management. We can take their phone calls, so a virtual reception.
So it's almost like getting rid of the drudgery of the business and focusing on what they're really good at.
Yeah, exactly. So trying to take away all that daily sort of admin tasks so they can concentrate on more revenue generating.
Excellent. And that's been successful for you?
Yeah, very much so. Almost 7 years been in business. So I started out on my own, and as my family grew, I took on some more more
and you've
people.
Got some more admin assistants.
So yeah, I've got six all locally based within the city of Casey area.
Excellent. Yeah. So let's swing to the Girls Night In business class. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, sure. Really interested in networking within the community, local businesses. I think building relationships is really important, and supporting causes is something that's I really believe in as well. Helping out, so the Cancer Council and their Girls Night In just sort of seemed like a really good cause. One of my own team members had has had a battle with cancer herself, right. So it's something that was fairly close to us. So, yeah, it was sort of put on so that it could be a business networking event as well as for a good cause. So all the money raised on the evening will be donated straight to Cancer Council.
Okay, and so, and is Tammy Van Wisser?
Wisser,
yep.
Yes.
Who is she? Can you tell us a bit more about her?
Yeah, she's a marathon swimmer.
Right.
She has swum some amazing, amazing lengths in her career, six world records, the English Channel. She's swum twice, the only person to have swum the Bass Strait. So very motivating and inspirational person. So yeah, it's going to be amazing to hear her story on the night.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be come along and obviously come prepared with a, if you will, an open heart to give to the cause, but also and then the other two things is to here is some opportunity to catch up with some old friends, make some new friends, some business acquaintances, but also thirdly just to listen to this great. So how old is she? Is she in her 20s, 30s? Don't know.
I'm not too sure.
She can't be 21 if she's already done the Bass Coast.
I say mid-30s. I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember sort of hearing about her as I was growing up, and you know her amazing feats that she'd done. So it'd be amazing to speak. To sort of listen to her and.
Excellent. So whereabouts is it tonight?
So it's at the Old Cheese Factory in Berwick, 34 Homestead Road, starting at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
We have lots of raffle prizes. A lot of local businesses have donated some fantastic prizes.
Yep.
So raffle tickets will be on sale. Pink merchandise from the Cancer Council will also be on sale, and a light supper is provided.
Excellent. And have you got any, is there any website details or anything for the event?
Yeah, you can pop along to www.admin-angels.com.au and go to the events page for more information.
Okay, and a phone number just finally just to catch up?
Sure, 0419-330-490.
And one more time.
0419-330-490.
Thanks very much, Barb. So, looking forward to tonight. That it should be a good night, good event, and should be a lot of people there. So, appreciate you coming in, and trust that it'll be a good night tonight.
Great. Thanks very much for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Barb.
Speaking, are you checking or making a booking?
I'm making a booking, thanks.
Picking up from?
I'm just on the Hume Highway.
Where?
On the side of the road.
I can't book a cab like that, sir. You know how long the Hume Highway is? It goes all the way to Melbourne.
Yeah, probably about halfway between Canberra and Sydney.
Yeah, well, the best thing to do is flag them down when you see one passing, sir. Thank you.
It's hard enough for you to get picked up out here, let alone your rubbish. Help keep Australia beautiful.
Casey Radio is proudly sponsored by Slater and Gordon Lawyers. With offices in Cranbourne, Frankston and Dandenong, our team of lawyers can help you with your injury claim. Established over 76 years ago, Slater and Gordon has built a powerful reputation as a law firm which fights for the best outcomes for everyday Australians. Call Stuart Legrand, our local injury law specialist, on 8762 3500 to discuss your rights and entitlements. No challenge too great.
And welcome, Kath.
Thanks very much, Paul. Very nice to be here this morning.
Yeah, sure. Kath Ferry is the CEO of Statewide Autistic Services, or SASE. SASE has been operating since 1966. It started in a church hall in Cheltenham, caring for six children with autism, and now cares for over 220 people in Croydon, Gippsland, Mentone and Seaford. It is quite a significant provider of these services, and we are very privileged to have Kath with us this morning. So, Kath, can you tell us a little bit more about Statewide Autistic Services and the range of services you offer?
Thanks very much, Paul. Yes, we're a fairly medium-sized disability service organisation. We provide a range of services to our families and our clients. And what we've tried to do is become very much a specialist provider within the disability industry. So we have very highly specialised staff who we train to manage a lot of our the people who we support. A lot of our clients are, as people might know, the autism spectrum is very diverse and quite broad, and we've decided to try and focus our services very much on the higher end of the spectrum, where we have a lot of our clients who have significant disabilities. They have issues with verbal language, with communication. Some have behaviours of concern. So we're really trying to provide a supportive service for them and their parents and carers to enable them to engage within the community as much as is possible.
And you've got quite a few staff, and you've got quite a wide range of people supporting what you're doing.
We certainly do, Paul. We have, as you mentioned, we have day services, which we provide in three regions, in Croydon, in Seaford, and down in the Gippsland region. We have a number of long-term shared accommodation facilities, so mostly in the southeast of Melbourne, where we provide long-term accommodation for four or five residents in each of the houses. They are staffed 24/7.
Right.
That's one of the things which, in today's community, it's great that a lot of our residents and people with disabilities are living within the community, but quite difficult in terms of funding going forward.
Right. So, with all these facilities, whereabouts has is it just come from government? Has it come from local councils? Has it come from individuals? Where's all the funding come from?
In our organisation, as most disability service organisations, the predominant funding comes from the state government. So each of our people who we provide services to receives a funding package which enables them to use it in a range of ways. It might be for respite or recreation, which is something which is urgently in need of, particularly in this area, which is a large developing area. Parents who have a child with a disability find that both for themselves and for the child's siblings, that some respite or some recreation options are great, so that the child can interact with other people as well as give some respite to the families. So that's one of the things that, you know, is a great need currently, particularly in developing areas like Aotearoa and Casey and Cardinia.
And so with the, I suppose it's always a challenge with the holiday programs, just of having things up to date, and, you know, current, having the right staff, having the right facilities. How do you get around those? Because, you know, how do you get around those challenges?
I think one of the things that SASE, as we've become commonly known, has been very fortunate is we have a very loyal staff. We have lots of people who've worked for us for a great many years, and we manage to attract a lot of younger people, particularly students and people who are perhaps studying allied health at university, who are very keen to be involved in supporting particularly the younger members of the SASE family through the school holiday program. So quite often, you know, during school holidays and on weekends, we have activities around, you know, bowling, going to various events, trying out a whole range of activities that they don't normally get an opportunity to. But in doing that, it enables then the parents and the carers to have some respite, and, you know, they actually have a bit of a rest to recharge their batteries.
Yeah, so, which is very important. So what are the, so probably a couple of things there with attracting the staff, attracting people. How do you go about that?
An awful lot of, we do advertise in normal mainstream media, but we find that a lot of the time word of mouth mm-hmm. actually works, and certainly amongst the allied health students and a lot of the families, we found that, you know, we can attract people who have some links to us. A number of our staff perhaps have children on the autism spectrum themselves. They might have used our services in the past mm-hmm. and then would like to actually give back to the community and will come and work for us in maybe the respite or the recreation program. Mm-hmm. I think we've found that our turnover of staff is relatively small.
That's excellent.
So we actually managed to not have an issue with staffing. It's Excellent. More a continual issue with funding arrangements and how to make the funds that you do have go as far as possible to provide service to as many people as you can.
Well, that must be very comforting to have, you know, there's that low turnover. So it means that there's that quality of the working conditions for, and then, you know, got all those procedures and all the stuff, so people are happy if you're to be involved and associated with SASE.
Yeah, I think that's correct, Paul. I think in the local disability community, SASE appears to have a fairly good reputation. It has been around for nearly 50 years. And we have a number of our residents who have been with us in our long-term accommodation since they were, you know, very small children, you know, from the age of 8, they might have been with the organisation for 20 plus years in a range of facilities.
Right.
So I think the very fact that they've continued to be with us, their families have been very comfortable and happy with the support that SASE's provided them. We have a very good reputation, and what we're now trying to do is build an evidence base behind that. So we've entered into an arrangement with an organisation in the US which has some outcomes-based framework. So one of the things with the NDIS coming on board is that, you know, parents and clients with their funding packages can choose where to take or where to spend their funds.
Yep.
And what we're trying to do is be a point of difference in, if you are coming to our organisation, there's an expectation that you will develop, you will learn skills, and there is a measurement and quality framework behind that.
Oh, okay, so it's actually, it's not just a place, yeah, go and look after them. It's actually, okay, here is a place of development. There is a pathway to improve.
Absolutely, that's quite correct, Paul. A lot of our people who have been providing, you know, we've provided support to for a number of years, we always have a plan of action and there are some aims. And us now moving to have a quality framework means that we would have some outcomes measurement with the expectation that our people who are providing, we're providing services to, would gain some skills that would enhance their independence and interaction with the community.
That's excellent. So let's shift the focus a little bit toward you. You're the CEO. What your career, how long have you been the CEO there?
Oh, very short time, Paul.
Oh, really?
I joined SASE just over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
My background is an allied health person. I'm an occupational therapist by background.
Right.
So I've always worked clinically with people with a disability of some form or other. And I've worked in a range of areas in the community, in hospitals, in primary care, and found myself being fascinated by the NDIS and its introduction in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And felt that I'd like to work for an organisation that was preparing itself for the NDIS, which is a very large reform in Australia's history.
Absolutely. And it's, and it just seemed to dovetail, you know, here's your passion, here's your interest, here's, you know, the career of Kath Ferry, and okay, here's this opportunity. So I dare say you've been from that, you've been involved in this sector for a while, and you've seen organisations come and go. You've seen some organisations that, yeah, they've been doing good, but then the wheels fall off, and then others, they go from strength to strength, like SASE. So why do some organisations that are not-for-profit community groups, or, you know, organisations like yourself, they start, if you will, on a blaze of glory, or they, they grow, and then all of a sudden it just falls apart. Why does it happen?
From my own personal view, my belief is that when you're actually commencing an organisation, there's a lot of goodwill, there's a lot of parents, there's a lot of people who perhaps start an organisation and don't pay enough regard to the governance and the sustainability of the organisation. All of the disability agencies are all charities, and yes, we're all not-for-profit, but at the bottom line, we're all businesses and we have to be sustainable.
Well, it's not for profit, it's not for loss.
That's exactly right.
And so you take out, yes, it is a business that I'm running, and so all the restrictions and all the strictures of business. So the other side of that then, why do some of them succeed? Yes, they start off with this base of goodwill. They, you know, both cases, they start off with a lot of support. Why then do some kick off and grow and they're still there 50 years later?
I think one of the things is that, you've certainly got to have a good board or committee structure and people coming from a business background. But I think if you've got some innovation, but you actually look ahead and you actually plan your services ahead, you plan what do you need to get there, what is actually going to be your point of difference, and you grow slowly and make sure that everything is based on a quality framework, then you're unlikely to fail. Whereas grabbing things and thinking, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do a whole range of things, getting involved in a diverse range of areas can sometimes be the undoing of some organisations. Mm.
It seems like whether business or community group, it's that focus which provides that measure for success.
That's quite correct. And certainly when I first joined SASE over 2 years ago, my first job or task was to take my board through what is it that we viewed ourselves, how did we view ourselves, where were we going to be in the NDIS marketplace going forward. And that's why we very much decided to maintain our specialism and concentrate on things we're good at, things we could develop, and we'll move into allied areas within the autism spectrum and complex disabilities, but we won't vary from our mission, which is to be, the lead provider of services in this field going forward.
So with all the good that SASE does, how can businesses get in behind and support?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask, Paul. We have a number of arrangements with some of our local businesses. Our head office is in Seaford, so at the moment, but we're looking to move into the city of Frankston. So we'd certainly look to businesses around, are there things that they can actually assist us with, whether that be perhaps volunteering to come in, and perhaps it might be something they do as a skill that they might like to volunteer. Is it something that some of our clients can actually go out? We have links with a couple of local schools, and our clients will go out and assist them with recycling programs or gardening programs, these kind of things.
Sure.
So certainly we're looking for any kind of partnerships where it's something we might be able to do for them, but they can actually reciprocate. So really on a win-win type basis.
Yeah, for sure. So it's really, it's just having businesses think, well, not so much how can I get free labour, what can I get? It's what can I give? Here is a set of skills which may be required. And so I dare say that involves picking up the phone and speaking with someone like yourself to say, hey, what are the actual needs? So, for example, coming up to Christmas, you've got the next few weeks and into, are there any specific needs that are, say, top of mind right now?
Look, nothing specific at this point in time. We're actually really looking at, we haven't had a formal fundraising strategy over the past few years. And what we're looking to do now is look at what are some of our needs and how we can actually engage a lot of local businesses. So we're working on that at the moment.
Okay.
But we'd certainly welcome people. We're in the website, Twitter, Facebook space.
Yeah.
People can go to www.sasi, which is sasi.org.au,
yes,
to look at the kind of services we provide and things that are actually coming up.
And see where's that. So the last little section here is the words from the wise, the words of, you've been around a bit. Yeah, there's a set of experiences and so on that you have. So the words of the wise. So what's a saying? What's a reference? What's a quote that you like, that you, if you will, guide some area of your activity or your own life?
Look, I think actually our tagline, which our organisation has, which we ran a competition and we said, well, what does SASSY mean to you as a client, as a staff member, as a family member? And basically our tagline, which we chose, epitomises that, which is, you're not your life, your way, your choice.
Okay. And a book that you recommend?
A book that I recommend? Oh, that's a very, very interesting question, which I haven't thought about.
No, that's fine. So there's been much... because sometimes there's a whole range of business books, or there might be some authors that we really like, or has this been something of recent times which has really grabbed your attention?
Look, I think one of the things that which just springs to mind currently is the Who Moved My Cheese, which is all around change. And yes, I think that's one of the books which I've used with a number of organisations, particularly for staff and parents, in that change is frightening, change is good, but if you embrace it and you do it well, you will end up with a really robust organisation that serves its local community very well.
Because one of the constants in life is change.
That's quite correct,
And the last bit of the words from the wise, some business advice. You've been through, a whole range of business experiences. You've come on board at SASSY with, with a set of, this is how it's probably best to do things. So what's a key piece of business advice that Kath Ferry would pass on?
I think one of the things that I found is keeping connected and making sure that you continue to network and know what's going on in your own sphere, whether that be banking, disability, age, whatever area is your interest. I think you need to keep up to date, keep reading, keep current, and keep talking to as many people as possible.
Excellent. So finally, where can we find SASSY? What's the website again?
It's www.sassy, that's SASI, .org.au, and we're also on Twitter and on Facebook.
Yep. And contact phone numbers?
Our main contact phone number at head office is 03-9773-6044.
And one more time?
9773-6044.
Okay, thanks. So thanks very much for coming in, Kath. It's been good having you here this morning. Appreciate your thoughts and all that you do as well. It's quite a significant service being provided to the community. And as with all our guests, we'll have your details up on the 3SER website soon, as well as the recording of this show. So please stay tuned. We have Simon Mosman after this. Thank you.
Berwick Lodge Primary School, a great government primary school located in the heart of the city of Casey. Established for over 20 years, we offer a comprehensive curriculum with an edge, global partnerships with other schools, coaching programs, robotics, Chinese, and extension programs for talented kids in ICT are a few examples. Why not call 9707 1766 and we'll be only too happy to provide you with a personal tour of our wonderful school. Another 97.7 FM sponsor.
Who are the Lions? What do they do? The Lions are one of the world's largest service clubs with over 1.35 million members worldwide. Lions are people who want to give back to the community and help the needy. Lions are men and women of all ages, races and creeds. Fellowship, good times, learning new skills, leadership and personal development. These are just some of the good things about Lions membership. For more information, go to lionsclub.org or contact your nearest Lions Club.
97.7 FM, Casey Radio.
And unfortunately, we were going to have Simon Mosman in right now. We were going to pre-record that following interview, but we had some technical difficulties. But aside from that, Simon Mosman, who we're going to have on a program in the next few weeks, he runs Simon Mosman Consulting. It's a consulting practice that specialises in business communication, media and public relations. His blog is New Media Evangelist, which says it all for his business. It's all about increasing your brand, your product and your profile visibility through the communication channels of traditional, digital and social media. So it would have been great to have a chat with him, but due to technical difficulties we've been unable to set that up, so we'll be having Simon on a little bit later on. So after the break coming up next, we'll have the coming events, and that'll be a wrap. Thank you. A special event is being held by the networking group of which I am president, the Casey Cardinia Referral Network, and the Casey Council Economic Development Unit. It's a Cloud Solutions Expo, and it's being held at the Monash University in Berwick on Wednesday the 12th of November. We are having 8 exhibitors and some presentations, and the aim of the night is to answer 3 questions. Is cloud computing right for my business? The second question is, can I do better or do I do different using cloud computing? And thirdly, why should I even consider using this cloud stuff? So more details to come soon. Now, the next event for Cardinia and Casey will be a networking night on this Wednesday. That's tomorrow night, the 22nd of October, for members of the Casey Cardinia Business Group. It is important to network, and for that is how you and your business grows. So take advantage of this event tomorrow night. Call the council on 9705 5200 for more information. From Frankston, over 100 business owners and entrepreneurs have shown their interest in the Frankston City Council Small Business Grants Program. Applications are still open, so please contact the council on 1300 322 322 for more information. And finally, 3 notices from Kingston. The Small Business Bus will be visiting Mentone on Wednesday the 22nd of October and will be located at Florence Street in Mentone. Please book online or call 12 22 15. And don't forget that if your business is Kingston-based, then use the free online directory. With Google Page Rankings in part based on directory listings, it is to your advantage to be listed with the Kingston Online Business Directory. And finally, a significant event is being held today at the Chisholm Institute at Dandenong. It should be of interest to local businesses, particularly those seeking diversification of their current business operations. It's the Victorian Manufacturing Showcase, and it's a joint venture between the Victorian Government Business Office Network and the Industry Capability Network. It's supported by the Australian Industry Group, the Victorian Employers Chamber of Commerce and Industry, that's VECI, and the South East Melbourne Manufacturers Alliance, Kingston Council and other South East Melbourne local government authorities. Call Kingston Council on 1300 653 356 for more information. And so, as we close, a bit about me. I'm Paul Terrow, and I run a management consultancy called Dellium Advisory, D-E-L-L-I-U-M, advisory.biz. I specialise in strategy development for organisations, and my expertise is in guiding teams and organisations to a successful future. From my perspective, there are 3 blockages to success. A lack of team alignment with or even engagement with your organisation's strategic plan. The second is an ill-fitting portfolio of information technology. And thirdly, there is uncertainty regarding how to think about and prepare for the future. And so I can assist you with each of these three barriers to success in a number of formats, including workshops, speaking at events, and undertaking desk-based research, including in-house interviews. And finally, I trust that this hour has been of value to you, that you will do yourself a favour and get along to the Girls Night In Business Class event tonight. Talk to Barb Scott of Admin Angels for more information. That you'll support Kath Ferry and the Statewide Autistic Services and all the good that they do. And that you'll also take advantage of the breadth of communication skills and advice that Simon Mosman has for you. So enjoy the rest of today, and we'll catch you next Tuesday at 8 a.m. This has been Paul Terrow of Delium Advisory hosting the 3SER KC Radio Win-Win Business Show.